Jim Paris is also on the way. He is with ChristianMoney.com and joins us today to talk a little bit about reverse mortgages. Jim, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Actually, this is the actor Robert Wagner. You may know me from Heart to Heart.
Robert
today,
Wagner.
I want to tell you about a reverse mortgage.
Did Tom Selleck do that too? Is he another one?
Tom Selleck, yeah. Blue Bloods guy, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'm Tom Selleck, this really handsome guy, and I'm going to tell you about reverse mortgages.
It's the mustache.
That's it right there.
Yep. It is. Yeah. Reverse mustaches. I mean, mortgages.
Are they a good idea or not? What is a reverse mortgage?
So this is one of those things where it's a qualified yes. I say for the right situation, it's a really good thing. But people get very worked up about this idea of a reverse mortgage. Like you have people in one camp that say, don't do it. It's just a scam for the bank to steal your house. And I try to explain to people, this is the most regulated kind of residential mortgage that exists. So the bank's not stealing your house. It's not a scam. It's totally regulated, highly regulated, but it's not for everybody. It's for someone in the right situation. So my mom and dad, I helped them get a reverse mortgage about 15 years ago. And this was a way that they were able to, you know, continue on, even though they didn't have a lot of money. And my dad passed away a little over 10 years ago. And had they not done the reverse mortgage, my mom wouldn't have been able to stay in that house. So I think it's a tool, and I think for the right situation, it makes sense.
All right, so let's look at the difference between a regular mortgage and a reverse mortgage. Tell us the difference between the two.
Yeah, so on a regular mortgage, you make a monthly payment until it's paid off. It takes 30 years most of the time. On a reverse mortgage, what you're basically doing is you're using your home equity to basically reverse that process. So if your house is paid off at least half, you can basically just not have a mortgage payment for the rest of your life. You have to be at least 62. And then if it's a married couple, then it would be of the life of both people get to stay in the house until the second person dies. And then the house would go back to the bank. And if there could still be equity left. So if you got a reverse mortgage and after a year or two, both people died, the family would still get the remaining equity. So you could either wipe out your mortgage altogether if you owe like half or less, or if you have a completely paid off house, you can not only wipe out your mortgage, you can actually get a monthly check from your house that is tax-free, which is really cool also. So it's not only getting rid of the mortgage, but also creating an income that's tax-free.
Wow. Okay. So if somebody is considering doing this, would how much and the amount of assets that they have play into this? Like, how would you know if this would be a good fit for you or not?
Yeah. So I look at it basically like a financial planner. I was a financial planner for 30 years, and you just sit down and look at people's situations. And, you know, my dad was disabled as an electrician. He fell off of a scaffolding and he was disabled at the age of 39. Hmm. So when my parents got into retirement years, they didn't have a lot of money saved up. So there's probably people that might be in that kind of a situation, or just they didn't save along the way and now retirement is hit. So it's really for people that don't have a lot of assets to, you know, sustain themselves during retirement. It's a good way to sort of make up for that.
Now, you mentioned if a person dies, your dad passed away. Does the loan, the reverse mortgage loan, become due at the time for the other spouse that's still remaining?
No. So it's good for both persons' lifetimes. And then even after both people die, the house gets sold, but there still could be equity based on how many years they've gone without the payment or how many years they've been receiving a payment. So it protects both people in the marriage to be able to stay there their entire lifetimes. And in my mom's case, man, have they lost a lot of money on her, because she just turned 79 and they've had that reverse mortgage for 15 years and she hasn't had a mortgage payment in 15 years, which is really incredible.
Wow. Okay. So could somebody actually use a reverse mortgage to buy a house?
Yeah, this is something nobody knows. And I'm trying to explain this to people, but it's a very little known feature of a reverse mortgage. So let's say that you want to buy a house. Let's say it's $300,000. You take $150,000 and you buy the house with a reverse mortgage. You never have a mortgage payment the rest of your life. You're 62 and older. So you find the house, it's $300,000. You come up with half, $150,000. You go to closing with $150,000. You close on that house with reverse mortgage, never have a mortgage payment for the rest of your life and live in that that brand new house you just bought.
And so the key is then the bank at the end of all this, both of the spouses, let's say it's a married couple, both the spouses pass away, and then the house does revert to the bank. So they're leveraging the risk.
Right, right. And there's also a schedule. So if it if the both of them died, let's say fairly early on, and they give you a schedule, but then the family would get the remaining equity. So it doesn't just automatically disappear and the bank steals your house. It's really very well done. And the schedule will show you what the numbers are as you do it. But I love this for a lot of people in this situation. I mean, why struggle in retirement when you have this and you've got equity in your house?
Well, you say it's not for every person, but it could be valuable to some families. And I suspect you've written an article about this.
Yeah, there's a big article and it's even got Tom Selleck in it. And it's at christianmoney.com. I got Tom Selleck in there and Robert Wagner and me. So it's a really cool article. It talks about all this. christianmoney.com.
christianmoney.com is how you connect with what Jim's talking about today with a reverse mortgage and just giving us some education as to what these terms are when we see them on television by all these folks that are endorsing that. You can connect with Jim through our Facebook page as well. Thank you, Jim Paris. It's Don and Steve in the morning. Moody Radio.
All right, so the dog is barking. You know what that means, right? That means coming up in just a moment, we are playing the Dog Days of Summer, Don and Steve in the Morning Trivia Contest. We need a contestant right now. If you're ready to answer a question about dogs, then give us a call. 800-555-7898. That's 800-555-7898. This is Moody Radio. And we have Amy joining us this morning. Amy is our contestant in the Dog Days of Summer Trivia Contest. Amy, good morning. Where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm calling from Elkhorn City, Kentucky.
Ooh, nice. Right over there next to the Virginia line. Good morning, sis.
Yes. Just a few minutes away from Virginia.
That is excellent. You guys okay over there? I know Eastern Kentucky's had a lot of flooding.
Yeah, we're okay in this area. It's a little worse on the other side of the county, though.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. We continue to pray and watch and support all those that are helping there in Eastern Kentucky. But, Amy, we're so glad you're joining us this morning. We got a question for you. Of course, you're thinking dogs and dog days of summer. And so when you hear this question, I've been trying to think how I can help you. But Steve's got a question for you.
I do. That's right. All right. Which breed of dog is often considered the most intelligent? Which breed of dog often considered the most intelligent?
I didn't know this. I got to tell you, while you're thinking, I had no idea that this is the breed that would be dubbed the most intelligent. I think it makes sense now that I know, but I had to look it up. I did not know
you
this.
You didn't know this?
Miss Amy, do you know which breed of dog would be considered the most intelligent?
Well, I have two dogs who are both very intelligent in their own ways. So I'm going to go with a German Shepherd.
Oh, see, that's a great guess.
That is a good guess.
That's a great guess, but not right. Are both of your dogs German Shepherds?
No.
No? What's the other one?
The other one is a Black Labrador.
Ooh, okay. Those are smart dogs, too.
Those are pretty smart, too.
Yeah, it's still not the right answer, but oh.
All right. Can I? Yes. Can we do one more shot here?
Yeah. Okay. Amy, here's a clue.
So there was a TV show about a dog who seemed to be pretty intelligent and was often rescuing a little boy. It'll take you back a bunch of years. In fact, there are TV shows, movies about this dog.
Was
long-haired dog.
About said it.
You just about said it, didn't you? Yep.
I was about to say, okay.
In fact, there was even, I think it was the movie, it was like Blank Come Home.
Can we say the name of the dog? Because that's not the trivia question.
That's not.
Okay, so the question is, what type of dog, what breed of dog was Lassie?
Oh.
You can picture him, can't you?
A collie?
Close enough. Border collie. Yes. Yep. Congratulations, Amy. It looks like your German Shepherd and your chocolate lab, is that what I remember, is going to have a black lab 50 gift card from Petco that we're going to send to you. Congratulations, Amy, in Elkhorn City, Kentucky, for winning our Dog Days of Summer trivia contest this morning. Keep listening. That dog's going to bark. And when he does, or she does, you're going to want to call that 800 number, 800-555-7898. Animals, they can be blessings or curses. Ugh. Steve, I saw this morning on Facebook that a friend of mine had woke up like out of a dead sleep to this horrific smell in the house.
Okay.
A skunk had sprayed the AC unit. Come on, really?
Oh, no.
Yeah, for real. An AC unit, and the skunk sprays it. And so, of course, it filters through the entire house. And she says, I can't get rid of it. I've been boiling vinegar.
Oh, that would be horrible.
Oh, she's trying everything. And she says, the taste is in my mouth. It's all over the house. I don't know what to do. So she was asking, you know, what do you think? I have no idea. I have no idea what I would do.
I'm wondering, do you have to actually, like, in a sense, go to the source? Do you actually have to treat the AC unit itself?
Well, that's
because if you don't do that, you might be able to like mask some of the smell in the house for a little bit, but every time the AC kicks on, it's just going to be blowing it back into your house, right? I would think.
Yes. So do you disassemble the AC unit, clean it all really good so that oil, that's a great place to start, but then how long? One person said that a skunk smell had gotten in the house and it was 2 weeks.
Oh,
because I was following the feed. I was so intrigued. It was 2 weeks before that went away. I'm like, okay, who's housing me for 2 weeks?
Right.
Because I can't do it.
At least 2 weeks. Yeah, that would be horrible. I think my very first call would be to the AC service company. I'm like, I know this is not a routine service call for you. You're not checking the Freon. We don't even necessarily need to look at the coils unless that is what you need to do.
It's an emergency.
To get that smell out of that thing. Oh, yeah. That would be awful. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you know how to treat that. Feel free to text in just in case a skunk hits Don's AC unit. You can let us know. 800-555-7898. Sometimes what we say, though, can kind of come back to bite us. The way that we treat people can come back to bite us as well. We're going to talk about two celebrities, how they're handling a little bit of a dust-up. That's after this on Moody Radio. You know, I have to admit, I don't pay a lot of attention to the world of celebrity and celebrity culture.
No.
But every once in a while, something hits the radar screen, and you see celebrities responding well to something. And many of you know Candace Cameron Bure, maybe not personally, but you know who she is, right? I mean, she was on Full House. She's been in like just about every Hallmark movie out there.
True.
If it's a Christmas movie, and you're going to see her in a ton of different stuff.
The View.
Yeah, she was on that for a bunch of years. I always so appreciated her opinion and voice on that show. But JoJo Siwa is another person who you may or may not know of. She's 19 now. At about, as a young child, she began to kind of get famous, YouTuber. Now she's on TikTok. Just one of those people who is in the celebrity circles. She shows up at red carpet events and things like that. Well, when she was 11, she went to an event that Candace Cameron Bure was at. And everybody wants a picture with Candace, so she's taking pictures and, you know, I'm sure she had handlers and people saying, Candace, we need you here. We need you to do this, need whatever. And little JoJo wanted a picture. And Candace at that point said, hey, not right now. And apparently that stuck with JoJo. Did not like it. Then recently she had put out a video and was talking about different celebrities that she'd encountered over the years. Pictures of them and then her opinion of them. And when Candace's picture popped up, her comment was, rudest celebrity ever.
Mm.
You could ignore it.
You could.
Or you could do what Candace did.
And she addressed it personally. She called JoJo and had a conversation with her saying, that as a mom just breaks my heart. I would not want that to be my response. And just then made it a public apology as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the other interesting kind of part to this story is JoJo's mama, who also has her own podcast and kind of celebrity platform. And she has said she taught her daughter, JoJo, that if she had an opportunity to take a picture with Candace, if Candace should ask, because they're at the same event, that she, JoJo, would reply with, no, not now. Maybe later, and kind of give her like a dose of her own medicine. And it got us to thinking about how we teach our kids when they are wronged to respond. Now, we are looking at a video we've posted on our Facebook page, Don and Steve in the Morning, of a young man who was playing baseball and the pitcher accidentally hit him in the head.
Yeah.
And it upset the pitcher. It upset the player because that hurts. But the player took it upon himself to go and hug the guy and say, hey, you're doing a great job. So you could just let that fester as well. That could have gone a lot of different ways. This, with Candace Cameron Bure and JoJo Siwa, could go a lot of different ways. And you can kind of put yourself in the different shoes and maybe play it out in your head. But the question when the rubber meets the road is, what are we teaching our own kids?
Yeah, that's a good question because, you know, the temptation for some is when somebody hurts your kid, man, the little mama bear, the papa bear wants to come out, right? You want your kid to be vindicated. You want them to, if they've been wronged, for it to be made right, or that other person to suffer like they've made your kid suffer. But that's not what Scripture says, right?
Right.
I mean, God is a God of justice, and he says, leave room for my wrath. In Romans chapter 12, he says, as far as it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take vengeance, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Is that the message that we are teaching our kids? I think it certainly should be the message. And then just a couple of verses later, again, Paul is writing, do not be overcome by evil, be overcome evil with good. I think that's what we saw Candace really attempting to do. As far as it depended upon her, she tried to make peace, live at peace with people. And then she also talked about how the Lord was going to be her defender. She took to Instagram and shared Isaiah 12, verse 2, which says, the Lord is my salvation. I will trust in him and not be afraid. He alone is my strength and my defender. So she's like, I'm going to let him be my defender. He's become my salvation. Are we teaching our kids that message? Certainly should be.
What I appreciate about what Candace is saying is first she did the apology.
Yeah.
And then she said, the Lord will be my defender. So she did what she could, just like you said in Romans 12, like as much as it depends on you, live at peace. And that's what she was doing. She was taking the humble way, because that's hard.
Yeah.
To humble yourself and go to someone and ask for forgiveness. But clearing the air, that's about the only way you can start, is with an apology. And then if that person can't accept the apology, which I don't know that we've seen JoJo's real response on this or her mom, Jessalyn, but we do know that when we respond to others and we ask forgiveness, we hope that they'll be able to do that because of the wanting to make things right. I think oftentimes we will say, well, we want to live this biblical life, but do we know what the Bible says when we wrong someone or we are wronged, how we respond? So that's the conversation. Join us, 800-555-7898, biblically responding when you have been wronged. We'd love to know how that's played out in your life. It's Don and Steve in the Morning, Moody Radio. When bad things happen to you, when you're offended, when somebody has treated you poorly, what is your reaction? Recently, JoJo Siwa, she is a social media kind of phenom, and she's been in different movies, and I think, I want to say Disney. For some reason, I have had a conversation about her before, and she's been this child star that is now very, very known in music and all of the platforms. Her mom has her own platform, and she recently said, Candace Cameron Bure is the rudest celebrity I've ever met. And of course, that prompted a response from Candace, who said, that is not ever how I would want to be known, not just for my sake, but if I hurt you, I am really sorry.
Yeah.
Please forgive me. She reached out to JoJo personally, but also publicly to ask forgiveness since the offense was put out on social media. And, you know, it got us to thinking, when our kids or when we are offended, how do we respond? We often say, well, we want to respond biblically, but really responding biblically is very difficult when it comes to being a human being.
Sure.
Because it takes humility. It takes being able to go to that person that you've offended, like Candace has demonstrated for us. But it also takes going back to the Word of God to see what He actually does tell us, how He does instruct us when it comes to being offended.
Yeah, you look at all sorts of different scripture passages that could speak into this, like Ephesians 4, verse 32. It talks about being kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ, God forgave you, just as in Christ, God forgave you. I mean, we have been forgiven by God if we're in relationship with Him. And can we not, should we not demonstrate the same sort of compassion and kindness and forgiveness that has been demonstrated to us? We should. In Matthew 6:14, talks about, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. I mean, God cares about what are we going to do when we've been sinned against. Are we willing to extend forgiveness like He did? I mean, He says, you know, you want to be forgiven, you need to extend forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. And retaliation, like what JoJo's mom had said, you know, if you get the chance and Candace asks you for a photo, say no, not right now. That is a form of retaliation. It's not like really egregious, but it's kind of just trying to get back a little of yours, right? But that is not either what we're instructed to do as Christ followers. Matthew 5 talks about how we are to go the extra mile, literally and figuratively. If somebody slaps you on your right cheek, you turn to him the other one. See, humility. It Yep. takes real self-discipline to respond in a biblical manner when we have been wronged. If someone is suing you, you're to give them your tunic and your cloak as well. And you know what it means. You give more than you are offended. And then if anyone forces you to go a mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs, and you will not refuse someone who wants to borrow from you. And Philippians talks a lot about how we're to respond to one another. Philippians 2, man, that gets me every time. Because Jesus Christ himself humbled himself not only to death, but death on a cross.
Right.
That was despicable.
It was despicable. I mean, they talked about the fact that, you know, cursed was anyone who hung on a tree. And Jesus hung on a tree for us. I mean, he humbled himself in that way. And when he was asked about forgiveness, Peter asked him in Matthew 18, Lord, how many times should I forgive someone who sins against me? Up to 7 times. You know, the Pharisees taught 3. And Peter's like, 7? Because that's a lot, right?
Yeah, right.
That's a big deal. And Jesus said, no, not 7 times, but 70 seven times, or 70 times 7, depending on your translation. Basically, the point being, you need to continue to extend forgiveness. And self-reflection also could be an important part of that. Mark chapter 11 and verse 25, it says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sin. What are we maybe holding on to? Are there grudges, wounds, offenses that we need to deal with and let go? And if so, I hope we all will do so today. It's 12 minutes till the top of the hour. Don and Steve in the morning on Moody Radio.